Yeah, this is Rooker, and you listen to the Walking Dead girl. Now get out of here and do it.
Everybody, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
And I'm the Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to the Walking Dead Girl episode 122. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the show, we play listener feedback, so join the conversation.
And if you want to give us feedback, you can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com or go to our website, walkingdeadgirl.com/voicemail, to leave a voicemail feedback, and we might send you a Walking Dead Girl t-shirt. We actually do have a voicemail feedback this episode, and we'll play it towards the end of the show. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thewalkingdeadgirlpodcast. We routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we'll be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you've watched the current episode before listening. Well, I just have to say, hands down, that this episode was one of my favorites in this half of the season. And I just thought it was a really good episode because of Eugene and Dwight's kind of storylines, how they went and how it was more of a storytelling instead of telling us, you know what I mean? What's going on.
Yeah, everything that's going on.
You know, it was really just telling a story.
Yeah.
I like that.
So this Walking Dead episode was, it was good overall. I liked it. We see, you know, it's kind of an episode dedicated to Eugene, right?
Yeah.
And Dwight. We see some backstory of Dwight, yeah.
I mean, I think, is it really a backstory, or is it more of just like, here's who he is now? Like, here's the next step for him. Here's what happens after he's left.
I see.
Well, after Daryl's left.
Yeah.
I thought I really liked their character arcs in this episode because they went in two different directions. I think I said already, Eugene is going in the direction of embracing this new life and finding power and not being afraid anymore, and where people respect him for his intelligence, because that is something that has not been respected at all in the past.
Right.
But here everyone respects him, and he can take whatever he wants, and it's giving him a sense of this new confidence. And for Dwight, he realizes he's not the person that he used to be. And I do think that we'll get more into it later, but I do think that Sherry said she let Daryl go free because Dwight was being reminded of himself in Daryl. And in this episode, he just realized that he's not his past self, and he'll never be his past self.
Yeah. So Sherry was kind of trying to help Dwight by getting rid of this memory of his past, I guess, in Daryl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an interesting take on it. But, you know, even though the story was interesting and all that, I'm still not a fan of the Dwight character. You know, I'm not a big fan of
him.
Yeah.
In this episode, I grew to love him a little bit.
Oh, and love him. Okay.
Well, I mean, like, not love him, but I just grew to like him a little bit more because of how human he is.
Yeah, I
liked that plan he did. Sorry, continue.
No, he is human, but he keeps it inside, right?
Yeah,
he keeps it hidden,
buried away,
hidden from Negan.
It's like it died in this episode.
And he shows Negan a different side of him, not the emotional side. Yeah, again, I would have liked him if the story took a different turn, but they decided to play it this way. Like, if he was the one who released Daryl and let Daryl go, I would like him even more.
Well, then he wouldn't be alive right now.
That's true.
That's the thing.
That's true. But yeah, like I would still like him even though he died. but yeah.
He's like, oh, you've redeemed yourself in my eyes.
Yes, even though you're dead. but yeah, so the fact that it was Sherry.
Yeah.
And then kind of the Sherry's logic is, yeah, it's kind of interesting. But, and then, like, where is Sherry? Like, what's going on with her character?
Well, she just didn't want to be his wife anymore. Mm-hmm. And she wanted freedom. And she loved her husband so much, well, her ex-husband so much, that she was willing to, she just killed multiple birds with one stone.
Yeah, well, But let's not forget, like, leaving the saviors, like what Sherry did, is kind of a death sentence, right?
But like she said in her letter, being out there is better than being over there.
Yeah. I mean, not death sentence in the sense that she can't fend for herself, but more like the saviors, all of the saviors are pretty much looking for her now. Like, she mm-hmm. can't go anywhere in that area without, if the saviors see her, she's dead, right? Pretty much.
Yeah. Which is kind of like, yeah, well, I guess they also mean like, it's kind of like you're dead when you go out there because the life was so great inside the savior camp. How could you?
Because all the resources and everything.
Yeah. It's like, why would you ever want to go out there? You're pretty much going to die out there.
And the Eugene, do you think that, I like the way they played it. It's kind of balancing, like, is he really changed and following Negan, or is he putting on an act? Like, we don't know.
I know, right? We don't really know. And that's why I like this episode, because our questions aren't answered. I will be okay if he buried that part of him and he really is this person. But it's so much more interesting to believe that, no, he's just covering. And the reason why I think that he's covering and that he really doesn't subscribe to all of this stuff and that what Daryl has done to him. I mean, Daryl didn't do anything, but you already know how Dwight was kind of more partial to Daryl because he saw something in him. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I think that it's a cover is because at the end of the episode, we have, and I same thing for maybe not so much Eugene, but at the end, they met up.
Yeah.
They're like, you're this person, you're this person. Okay, we're Negan. You know, it's kind of just like, this is the life now. This is what we have to pretend.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of got that vibe, but I don't know. Eugene seemed pretty sold into the whole thing.
Yeah, so let's start get into it. At the beginning, we see that basically what it's showing us is the timeline from when Daryl escaped.
The moment he left, yeah.
And then Negan went on the took his truck and left. And then we see, you know, a close-up of Fat Joey's sandwich. all sprayed on the ground, and it's kind of parallel to Fat Joey's head being all splayed on the ground. So it's like a parallel to the sandwich and Fat Joey's head. Mm-hmm. They put it side by side there. And also, don't forget, the sandwich is again a symbol of, remember Dwight at one point was making a sandwich mm-hmm. in one of the episodes and yeah. all that. So it's kind of
and
symbolizing.
The sandwich is kind of like on the ground symbolizing now. For taking what you want, you know? Yeah.
But the sandwich is on the ground now. It's like, oh, his Dwight's sandwich days are over kind of thing. And then, so we see Dwight running around, trying to see what's going on. He's running. He sees the motorcycle. What do you think is going through Dwight's head right now? Because he went to the...
He's like trying to figure out, oh my God, well, how did this happen? Because it was his responsibility. It was all on him.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? And is it my fault? And he's just putting the pieces together that Sherry was the one that did it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now he has to figure out, he's like, oh my God, are they going to think it's going to be me and then I'm responsible and I'm going to get in trouble and blah, blah, blah. He's just trying to figure out a plan.
Yeah, he goes to his apartment. He sees Daryl's clothes on the floor. He picks up the walkie-talkie. And then it's interesting to see how when Negan comes back with Eugene, and Eugene goes through all of that, you know, introducing him to the room and all that. It's kind of the contrasting of Dwight and Eugene, right? Because Eugene is getting the royal treatment kind of thing.
Well, Dwight is getting put into the slammer for a weekend.
And getting getaway. And getting punched and everything and kicked.
Yeah, they broke into his room because they knew he was the one that was supposed to. He was the one that was supposed to keep. Well, they didn't know who took him. They don't know who let him go, but they just know who was responsible.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was a kind of a funny moment where, and Eugene's like terrified, right?
Yeah, and they're opening the door. And
they see dramatic,
like,
music.
No, no. And it's like, it's just a room that Daryl could have had if Daryl would have submitted and said, I am Negan.
Yeah. That must be the room that they used to butter
so,
up.
So yeah, they put him in and they're like, oh, do you want anything to eat? We can get you anything you want.
Well, she said anything.
He said lobster. He's like, no. What do you think this is? Like, it's come on, it's kind of stupid. Why would he say lobster, Dad?
Well, because
they live in the middle of the nowhere.
Well, he's pushing the limits of her statement because she said anything. He said, yeah, really, anything. I'm serious, anything. Okay, how about lobster then? You said anything.
True.
Like pushing the limits. You said anything, anything. Literal, right? He walks in, he sees the books, And he mentions Vonda and McIntyre, which I had to Google it to find out who this was. Apparently, she's a science fiction author, and some of her books were probably on the shelf, so he brought that up. Again, you know, confirming that yes, he is a nerd and a geek, and
yes, he does have taste that a nerd and a geek would have taste in.
And also, Laura tells Eugene that yeah, Daryl escaped, and Eugene says, "Well, if I knew anything, I would tell you right away."
Yeah, I just thought it was very interesting how they're using a different tactic on Eugene because they already know he's so scared and everything, and they don't really need anything from him. Any information, they just need his support and need his help to build those weapons, which I just realized that this place that the saviors are in is a perfect building because they're a smelting factory.
They can make metal things.
So that's exactly this. So he's like probably the most valuable person in the camp.
And also another funny thing was where they were talking about, she was asking him what kind of food he wants. Like you said, the lobster. And then he goes, what kind of sauce you want? Orange or red sauce? And I didn't even know orange sauce was a thing.
Yeah.
Until this episode. And then I Googled it. And apparently there's tomato sauce that you can make with orange juice.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah. And it has an orangey color and tastes a little bit orange.
You know, at the fact that they have stuff that we don't even know about and it's in the apocalypse, you know that they got it good.
Yeah. And we also learn later on, we might as well mention it now, that they make things like pickles, right? The pickles are made there. Like they're fermented there. They didn't just find a jar of pickles. They got cucumbers.
They make their stuff.
They got cucumbers and then they pickle it and then they make it there.
That's what a pickle is, Dad?
Yeah.
What? Oh, that makes so much sense, actually.
See, you learned something. That's why you have to do this podcast, because you learned.
I know. You know, because I love pickles. Pickles are my favorite vegetable, but I realize it's not even real. It's like cucumbers, what I really like, because cucumbers are pickled in like a jar.
They're tiny cucumbers.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And where did they get the cucumbers? They got them from Hilltop.
So, oh, yeah.
Because Hilltop grows vegetables and things. And so they got the cucumbers there. Eugene is eating pickles that were made, could potentially have been cultivated by Maggie.
Or Sasha.
Or Sasha.
Yeah. It's all connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he said they're out of pickles, but then they get pickles. Yes. And
also that, cause she says we got potato chips and he says what kind, and they say, oh, they make them fresh. Right. Like think about it. They make fresh potato chips. But he was like, oh, he doesn't want it. Like really? He wants, I don't know why he wouldn't, because they were too natural, I guess.
Probably. He wants the really crappy tasting.
The crappy junk food ones.
Yeah. After Laura leaves, Eugene starts playing the song Easy Street, and he loves the song despite Daryl, which is a huge parallel. That's a direct parallel to Daryl's situation.
Yeah, I see the different contrasts, right? Like, depending on the person. And I think basically there's like multiple approaches that Negan takes to people, like depending on how he wants to break them, right?
Yeah.
So with Daryl, he saw that Daryl was an animal. So he had to treat him like similar way to break him. And Eugene, he saw this quiet, kind of nerdy kind of guy who was more like intellectual, kind of thinking person. So he has to treat him a little differently to get him to convert. But Eugene didn't take long for Eugene to convert. But anyway, there's two different approaches, right?
I liked the cold open because it was a nice. That's when I realized this episode is going to be a good episode.
Still in the cold open, Dwight's sitting looking at the note, and that note.
We realize. Well, I mean, I already knew it was written by her. Mm-hmm. Did you know at this point already that it was she wrote it?
No, I didn't. Well, in this episode I did, but last episode where. I didn't realize it was her. I knew it was something, but
I had a feeling it was always going to be her, though.
Really?
Yeah, thought so. Because when I first saw the note when he first left, I knew it was girl handwriting, and I knew that Sherry has been lurking around Daryl's cage for quite some time, talking to him and stuff. So I had an idea that it was going to be her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's looking at a piece of paper, and, you know, of course, Negan breaks in and they beat him up.
It's the infamous yep. Negan knock.
So you know who's coming.
Yeah. Oh, just one last thing is before he gets beaten up, he puts the note in his pocket.
Yeah, so they can't see it yet.
So still protecting her.
At least until he can figure out what he's going to do and what's the actual situation.
Yeah.
He's very smart in that way.
So Dwight's in the cell, and we see the little dialogue between Negan and Dwight. So mm-hmm. Dwight is in the same position that Daryl was.
It's probably even the same cell.
Yeah, it is the same cell, yeah. One thing that's revealing in this episode for Negan, the Negan character, is that Negan is not, I don't know if he's not as smart as we thought, but he's kind of fooled easily.
That's a very interesting point, because I was kind of confused when I first watched it at how easy it was. I'm like, did I miss something? Why isn't Dwight being punished for any of this? Because, or at least I thought it was weird that Negan was so ready to jump onto the fact that Dwight had no feelings about this, or didn't have anything to do with it. And I think it's because he'd already proven so many times that Sherry and him are no longer, they don't have a connection anymore.
Yeah.
And he already is confident that Sherry likes Negan. Because remember, all their interactions was kind of like, there was some sexual tension. It wasn't like complete, like being repulsed. And Dwight never showed any signs that he ever missed his ex-wife. So when this happens and Dwight deals with the punishment, but he doesn't really say, oh, leave her alone.
Yeah, and plus he says, you know, I am Negan at the end while he's in the cell. Because mm-hmm. Dwight doesn't reveal emotions to Negan at all, right?
Yeah.
So Negan sees this cold-hearted person. That's what he sees.
It's unwavering,
right?
You know?
He sees Dwight as this stable person that doesn't get emotional. Because he says, right? He says, Daryl isn't like you. He's emotional. But actually, Dwight is emotional too. He just doesn't show it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's just hidden away.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if that's kind of the thing that the weakness, that Negan's weakness is that he gets fooled by, mm-hmm. or just not everybody, but just his relationship with Dwight is, I think, what's going to be his downfall. Like he thinks Dwight is this thing, but Dwight is not actually this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that is going to come back to bite him later.
Yeah.
He's too trusting of Dwight.
Yeah, of course. And that's why it's a great cover-up, because Dwight already has so much of Negan's trust.
Yeah.
And respect, because he's done all the trials. He's been through it all. So, Dwight, we haven't seen much of Dwight, but we know that he kills people. We know he killed Tara's girlfriend before we knew him.
The runaway guy, where he chased after the runaway, the guy who ran away from the camp.
Yeah, so we know that Dwight can do what he has to be done, and that's what Negan trusts. And until that breaks the trust, there's no reason why Negan should think otherwise.
Which, by the way, is the reason Sherry left him, because of the killing, right?
Because it's different, yeah.
Because he changed.
I really thought that letter, by the way, was really beautifully written, and it was explained a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nice little tie-in. So Negan says, okay, well, I trust you to bring her back. Go find her.
Mm-hmm. And he has to figure out. And so Dwight, now, do you actually think when Dwight was actually thinking of going to get her, or he was just going to pretend to get her? And because
I think he was going to bring her back.
Hmm.
No, I have a feeling. I think he knew. I think he knew she was going to be. Yeah, I think she knew. He knew she was going to be gone for good.
Yeah, I think
he was hoping that he'd find her.
But. I think if he would have found her, he would have probably told her to leave. But who knows, right? Because one thing is...
I don't think he even knew what he would do.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he was stalling at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's just playing along like, well, I'm out of the jail. I'm able to go around. So let me like see how far I can go with this and see if I can find her, or maybe, you know... Because who knows? Maybe if he had found her, he would have ran away with her. You never know, because
they did once before.
Right, exactly. One thing that I'm kind of hinting at that is because he brought the beer and the chips to the place, so it's kind of a a peace offering kind of thing. Like, hey, I'm...
Or like he was expecting to find something.
So what do you think of this Dr. Carson guy? I mean,
he's a very important piece of this puzzle here because Dwight's been planning this for a number of days, as you can tell, because he goes back in numerous times to get his bandages changed. And I really think that Dwight does not like Dr. Carson, although he does speak a lot of sense for the savior's mentality.
Yeah.
And he also thinks that, you know, she totally is the one that let him go and she's not to be forgiven, et cetera. It's like she's a coward and saying that it's her fault she's in the position she's in.
Yeah, but the sad part about it is that Dr. Carson is saying things that Dwight has a hard time hearing. Like, he doesn't want this guy telling him these things because it's like it's like digging a dagger in his heart even further. Because like the kind of thing she says, like, oh, the type of selfless, tender soul who would marry Negan to save her husband's life. Like, oh,
like, I know.
Dang it.
And then on top of that, it says it's the kind of person who isn't expected to be around anymore. Like, yeah, she's bound to get into trouble and die.
Yeah. Like, basically he's saying like what a great person she was, right? Kind of rubbing salt in the wound of Dwight that, you know, you lost this person. You chased her away, basically. But, you know, the doctor doesn't know all this, but, so I think that it kind of makes Dwight's job easier to that he made him get killed because it's like, well, I don't want...
He's already picking at my wounds.
Yeah, it's a reminder of Sherry.
Because, Sherry was close to the doctor because she was wondering if she was pregnant or not.
Right. So
Dwight just says thanks, and then he grabs some of the lollipops.
I don't know if that means anything. I don't know what the lollipops mean.
I thought, see, this is my prediction. I thought, because at the end, he's looking at the lollipops in his hand, right? Because one, I think he's quit smoking. Because he was in the same hallway that they used to share, and he just had a crap ton of lollipops now. And he took the lollipops and was like, this is the last time I'm ever going to be able to get some lollipops because you're going to die.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I completely think I think he might quit. He quit smoking.
I thought he took him to symbolize that the doctor's a sucker.
Oh, that's a good one too. That's a good one too. They're all good. I like them all.
And we have a little like a flash forward or back, I don't know, where Dwight is holding a photo of himself and Sherry. And we see it later on where he actually sees that photo at the house. So it's kind of a confirmation that, yep, that's the house that they used to live in.
I would probably find you at, yeah.
They used to live there, basically. I mean, why would that picture be there, right?
Isn't that interesting in the apocalypse how like you could still go back to the places that you lived in three years later?
That you abandoned.
You abandoned and you're in a completely different place than you are now.
Yeah.
You like, just can't go back.
You can't, yeah.
Even if you made it out in the initial outbreak, you just can't go back because the only way you survive is in groups now.
What was the symbolism behind, you know, the fact that he kept the package with Sherry's lipstick covered cigarette butt?
I think it's because based on the letter, how she said that, you know, I know you have bad memory and you probably won't remember who you were or all the happy times. And I think he knows this too. So if anybody who forgets things easily, I could see them develop a kind of a thing for holding on to things that have memories for them or have meaning to them to kind of help them remember. And I think that's why he keeps his wedding rings and why he kept her ring and the lipstick stained cigarette thing. It's just to remember Sherry because one day he's going to forget her,
which,
like he's forgetting himself.
Which is interesting. We'll touch on that in the letter, but Sherry talks a little bit about the memory thing with Dwight. So, but let's move on to where Laura is giving Eugene
a grand tour.
And we learn a little bit more about how life works.
Yep.
At that compound. And she talks about how there's a point system and we don't need points. Like, we can do whatever we want kind of thing.
Yeah. And as long as they sign out what they took on the clipboard, they can take whatever they want.
Which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, which is a great technique they have going on here. Like, he says, okay, everyone has a number except for us because we're not one of them. And you just take what you want, and the only thing you have to do is make sure you record it so we know how much you've tried
of. So the people who have numbers have to provide, right? Have to do work.
Yeah.
And Eugene is part of the elite, I guess. the upper class who don't have to do work. They just take.
Yeah.
Everybody else provides for the few.
And they have points, which is what the currency is. Depending on how many points you rack up from working is what you get when you get to shop.
Yeah. Which was kind of, and Eugene realizes this and he's like, and he takes advantage of it later in the episode. But we see this redhead kid stealing something. I don't know if that was significant or not, but
watching a second time, I noticed it for real this time. And I know you have in the notes here, this is the son of number 39 from episode 3, who is now a walker. His family has no means to provide for themselves now.
And Dwight,
because Dwight was the one that raided their bunker,
and he got killed because he did something. I can't remember. Because he talked back to the guy or stole or something. I don't know what.
Yeah.
But they killed him. And then, because I remember when Dwight was raiding the bunker, the redhead kid and his mother were standing there watching Dwight. So I don't know if this will be paid off later down the road, because maybe that redhead kid and Eugene will kind of connect at some point.
No, I just think it was a moment where he just recognized that he was stealing something.
Yeah, it's like, even though these people have to stay in line, they still kind of sneak around and do stuff behind Negan's back.
Desperate times calls for desperate measures, and when you're living in poverty, you're going to steal.
Yeah, and then there was a fresh jar of pickles that was just made. And
she's like, it's your lucky day.
Yeah,
you want something, you take. And that's how she establishes, like, you want it, you take it. And just gave him the whole jar of pickles.
We get to the point of, you know, Eugene being presented to Negan in a more official way, and then they have this a big talk. And what do you think of Eugene's switching to this lie that he used to tell Abraham and Rosita about him being part of the genome project?
Yeah, because he learns quickly what it's advantageous and what's not to say. You know, what's going to get me to the top the quickest and what's going to keep me out of trouble.
Yeah, I think Negan realizes that Eugene is not really anything smart, but
he's funny. He likes him because he's funny.
Yeah, Negan says, are you just a smarty pants? Are you pretending to be smart? Or are you actually smart? And then he says, oh no, I am smart. So I basically, Eugene is just lying to get by.
And he's like holding his jar for dear life. Like at any moment, they're going to strike him down.
Eugene is in a pickle. That was a joke.
I know. It's just a bad one. But yeah, Eugene says he reads a lot. And Negan's like, okay, this guy's just an asshole. But Eugene does come up with a clever trick to get the walkers to stay on the fence to fend off other people. And so he was impressed by that. And that's what got him in the door, basically. It was like his elevator speech.
Yeah, and he learned that because if you remember, Eugene and Abraham went to that workshop where he figured out how to make a bullet.
Yeah.
And there was a walker there that attacked them, and he was covered in metal, like molten metal. So he had a hard time killing it because of that. Remember, Abraham says, hey, give it a shot, and then Eugene tries to do it on his own and he just can't kill it because it's made of metal. So I think that's where he got that idea from, because he saw it before, right?
Yeah, that could be it. I like to think that Eugene is actually really smart and he's perfect for this because I like seeing
He reads a lot. That's how he learns this stuff.
Yeah, but Negan's like, you're so smart. Has Rick done any of this?
Mm-hmm.
His loss, should give you a signing bonus. Because he's just so happy he found someone who can solve his problems.
Well, and also it's kind of stroking Eugene's ego a little bit. Because Eugene, if you think about it, he wasn't treated very, not treated very well. He was just it was just a person there. He wasn't elevated at all.
Yeah, exactly. They wouldn't have given him a second look unless it was for the bullets.
Mm-hmm.
After he explains his plan, Negan's impressed, talks about giving him a signing bonus, but instead gives him three of his wives just to have a conversation with, which is bizarre because he can't have sex with them, but you can enjoy the presence of pretty women in black dresses and black heels. Okay.
Yeah. And says, it'll make you feel human. And I don't know if he says, have you ever experienced that? He says, no. Having women or being human? I don't know which one.
Because Negan's dead inside, that's why.
Well, I think Eugene is dead inside, too.
Yeah, now we know he is.
So yeah, and then there was a funny scene where, did you mean plural wives? And say, yep, like multiple.
Yeah. Yeah. So Eugene is back playing video games and the three wives watch unentertained. Two of the leaders, Tanya and Frankie, are talking directly to Eugene while the other one is pretty like getting wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Oh yeah. You have, she's the one that her husband's face got burned. Yeah. So she's just like drinking herself to death because she's so unhappy. But Amber and Frankie seem to be pretty entertained by this newcomer and wants him to do stuff, which is foreshadowing for what she asked him to do specifically, to make pills.
So these three women kind of are interesting characters because they're played in a way that is, it looks like there's like three women who are bored out of their minds. That's what it comes across as. Like they're super bored.
Yeah.
But I think it starts off that way, but then it turns into, hey, oh, this guy knows stuff, so let's take advantage of it and fight back.
Oh, yeah, completely. Like when he realizes we can make a bomb out of anything, so you can make a pill out of anything.
Yeah.
So that's when they start the wheels turning in their head. And they're like, okay, now we can use him for our own personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was really stupid way they would planned it out. Like, it's never going to work, but you know, whatever.
Well, they kind of went wrong because when she says, yeah, make us two pills. Like, why would he make two pills? So I think
yeah, exactly.
That's
two of the same size pills or the same weight. Cause then he gathers together. It could be approximately his weight.
Right. And that's kind of what tips off Eugene. That's, you know, hey, maybe this is not for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole idea didn't make sense, and it was, you could see right through it kind of thing.
So yeah, they're entertained by Eugene because he's smart, and they take him seriously when they says he can make a bomb. And we have this cute little scene where the women, who are obviously bored, want him to make a bomb or something. Anyway, I thought it was kind of cool because he made that he mixed the two ingredients and it turned into a big cloud.
Yeah, it's kind of a school chemistry experiment thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
which anybody can do, and it's not that impressive. I mean, it's just some stuff you can read in a science book that, hey, you know, impress your friends. You know, make stuff shoot out of a bottle kind of thing. It's not really, I don't know if he really has the capability to make a bomb. Maybe he does.
He does.
I don't know if he is even thinking that. Like, is he planning that? Blow up the place? Probably not.
He just wants to impress them because he's getting attention and people actually give a crap about him and his ideas and what he thinks.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, I'm not even upset that Eugene decided to go Negan. Get it? Go vegan, go Negan. Because he fits right in. He's a coward, but he's a coward with power.
Yeah.
And yeah, he replaces Fat Joey.
Yeah. Let's not forget that Eugene, he started off this whole Walking Dead show as being the sneaky guy who fooled Abraham and Rosita into going to Washington just so he could stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham can protect him and keep him alive.
So he can do jacked up things.
Yeah,
like, that's not a surprise.
Yeah, so let's not forget where he came from, right? He is that
exactly.
kind of guy. He is that chameleon guy that could, you know, change who he is just to fit in.
And it makes things more interesting anyway, because you don't want everyone to be so happy all the time and like do the right thing all the time.
He's just trying to get by, you know, just say, hey,
he's looking out for himself. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So after they make the thing, he shows his parlor tricks. Frankie says to Eugene, you're one of us now. And it's just this whole conditioning statement of like, you're one of us. You are part of us. You shouldn't be afraid anymore. You have power.
Yeah, because the security guard walks by. It's like, what the hell are you guys doing here? And he goes, oh, don't worry. It's cool.
And they
it's
let
cool.
him go. Yeah. Even though Eugene was almost getting super scared at this, you know, he's starting to realize, wow, I actually do have some power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the next time they hang out, again, he's still playing the same video game.
By the way, when Eugene does his experiment, he's humming a classical song, Tchaikovsky 1812 Overture, which is which was also used in the ending of the movie V for Vendetta, mm-hmm. Which has this mega explosion.
And
the same song is being used, kind of, so it's parallel to that. That's why I thought, you know, maybe he's planning something like V for Vendetta. This major explosion, but I don't know. But anyway, he's channeling that movie in his singing.
Yeah, moving on to the next time they see each other. This is not on Negan's
time.
He didn't see whatever
it's
that means.
Unannounced
visit.
Ooh.
Secret. And they come up with this story, which I always thought it was kind of suspicious, considering that they wanted two pills. But Amber wants to commit suicide because she can't handle being Negan's wife. And she's the same one that Sherry had to, you know, take care of and lie for, or tell the truth to Negan with the whole boyfriend situation and all that.
The guy got his face ironed, remember?
Yeah.
He's the one that got like, the molded cheese face.
Oh, yeah. Like a cheese pizza.
Yeah.
And said, you know, we need to help our friend. And we want her to, we want to take care of her. She wants to commit suicide. Can you help us? Because they were just waiting for somebody. We all know. Well, at the time, I didn't know for sure, but I thought it was suspicious. But they want Negan to die. And here's this opportunity with this guy who can make anything out of anything. So, of course, they can make poison.
Yeah.
And they come up with that idea, but they just trick it by helping Amber instead.
One other interesting line that Eugene says here is that because they say, oh, you're a good guy, you can help us. And then he says, truth of the matter is I'm not good, lawful, neutral, or chaotic. I'm none of the above. Mm-hmm. So he's basically saying, yeah, but I'm not those things you say I am. I'm not a good guy.
I'm not a good guy as you think, you know. Because he's a coward. He's the last surviving coward.
Yeah.
You know, because remember how we would talk about all the time that cowards don't survive the apocalypse, but
pretty much
they just cover themselves with other powerful people, and this is what they do.
Yeah, because Eugene is using the sanctuary as his new shield, right? His new bubble.
Yeah.
His bubble.
Oh, yeah.
He's wrapping himself in the savior bubble.
Uh-huh.
Sanctuary bubble.
They'll have people defending him.
So we see where Eugene goes to get the pills. I mean, he starts off by standing in the back of the line.
This is funny. I like this scene, yeah.
But then he says, he thinks about it, I'm just going to go at the front and get the stuff. And then the woman yells, "Is he get out of here, right?" Mm-hmm. But then he kind of gets this courage, and it's like, well, thinking to himself, I guess I'm not a number. I'm this other upper class.
Mm-hmm.
So I should act that way, right? So he changes his language, right? Says, you know, what's your number? And, you know, I'm the boss of you kind of thing, right? You should be listening to me. Mm-hmm. So he changes his language to match how the saviors
act.
What
other people around him act, yeah.
Aggressively.
I liked the conversation that the regular workers were having. Like, oh, we're going to play some poker tonight. He's like, no, I can't. I have to be digging graves up from dawn till dusk. I can't be doing that.
Or posts or something.
A post or something.
Post holes.
Yeah.
So I like how he says, give me a one coal pack. And then after he gets angry, he just takes the whole basket and dumps it.
Uh-huh. And then take some stupid stuffed animal just because he can.
Yeah, the Grimbly Gunk, whatever. He makes up a name.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes back to his apartment, and we have a scene where he's like making pills and stuff with the glasses and the beaker and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like a Breaking Bad kind of thing. The mini montage, but not really. I think there was a montage like that in Fear the Walking Dead, remember?
When the kid was making pills,
They did it better there, though, I think.
Yeah, because that was his thing. He was a drug addict kind of guy, so.
Yeah, I like the montage on Fear the Walking Dead better. Believe it or not, we like something from Fear the Walking Dead better.
What?
And then the song that's playing is, it says, one of the lyrics that was prominent in the show was, "Everything right is wrong again."
Ooh.
So everything that Eugene thought was doing the right thing is now not. Is wrong. So now he's asked to act a different way now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what that means. So after he makes the pills, Tanya and Frankie visit him again.
He says, okay, you have the pills? He said, yes. We're going to give it to me? He's like, no, because I know you're going to use them for Negan and not Amber. That's why you wanted two. And then Frankie retorts with, didn't he kill your friends? Don't you hate him too? Pretty much. And then Eugene logically says, yeah, but we killed 30 or so of his, so it's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frankie says, give us the pills or tell Negan. And, you know, obviously he says, he'll believe me over you for the same reason he believed Dwight over the doctor. Because I think the reason why he decided to change his mind, because it did sound like he was going to go and give him the pills, was because then, you know, he would have won. He would probably get in trouble and be killed just like the doctor was. Or two, he doesn't want to lose his place.
Yeah.
Working with Negan.
Yeah. Well, he's a coward.
Yeah.
He
doesn't have to be that good guy anymore because he's not surrounded by people who are trying to be good.
I'm wondering if he's thinking that if Negan dies, they're going to trace it back to him somehow, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or if it fails, you know, the only person knows is Negan. The only person that can make those pills is Eugene. And so...
Mm. And also, they got the book where he signed. Like, who took out all these pills, you know? Like,
yeah, or these pill capsules.
I don't know. I'm just saying that I'm sure in Eugene's head, he's figured out that somehow he's going to get blamed and get killed for all this. Like, he's that much of a coward, right?
So he just says, yeah, that's not happening anytime soon. And they get pissed off.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back and...
Yeah, let's go back a bit to Dwight when he's going on his ride...
Yeah.
To find his ex-wife.
Yeah.
Gets on his motorcycle, goes to his house like we talked about, finds their like pictures and stuff, and we realize that this was a rendezvous point for if they ever get separated.
Yeah. And then he finds the letter. So let's listen to what the letter says.
D, we always said that if we got separated, I should come back here and wait for you. You'd show up with beer and pretzels. You remember that? I know. You probably don't. You always said that when we started dating, you forgot to tell me you had a shitty memory. You used to get so frustrated by it, knowing you wouldn't remember those good days, those special days. I felt bad for you. I remember you said there was so much you wanted to hold on to, and then it'd be gone. But you're lucky you don't remember things, Dee. I wish I could wait for you now, but I don't know if you'd come with me, or if you'd take me back there, or you'd kill me. You didn't want to live in that world, and I made you. I did what I did because I didn't want you to die. But now you've killed. And you've become everything you didn't want to be. And it's my fault. You were better than me. Most people are. I let Daryl go because he reminded you of who you used to be. And I wanted to let you forget. I don't think I'm going to make it out here. But you're wrong. Being there isn't better than being dead. It's worse. I hope you realize that. I hope you get away. I hope you remember the good days. Even just one of them. But I don't think you will. I don't think you'll ever read this. I loved who you were. I'm sorry I made you into who you are. Goodbye, honey.
Sad music for sad letter.
Well, so honey is her nickname. Okay, so I'm going to go out on a limb and come up with this theory.
Okay, go.
Again, with my preposterous theories. In this letter, it's revealed... It's a big revelation that Dwight has bad memory.
What?
Right?
Did they say that?
Yeah, because
I forgot. I'm just trying to make a bad joke.
Funny.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, like she says, when we were dating, you kept saying that you're bad with memory. You forget the good times, right? Easily, you forget things. Mm-hmm. So, which is a brand new revelation that we didn't know. So, I'm just wondering if you just replay everything from the previous episodes and now and let's pretend that Dwight is this guy who doesn't remember things.
Okay.
Like he forgets things.
Okay.
Think of it from that perspective. Does it appear that the Dwight character makes more sense in that regard, because he forgets, like, he's forgotten how important Sherry is to him, and that's why he's turning into this person who just lives for the moment.
That, but then literally when I just heard this recording and heard her say we would meet up and we'd be bringing, you'd bring pretzels and beer, but he brought the pretzels and beer, even though she said he'd probably forget that.
No, but she said in the letter also, she said, I know you'll forget, but maybe you'll forget one thing. Maybe you'll remember one thing at least.
Oh, and that was saying, one thing.
I'm just remembering. I'm thinking like maybe this is the one thing he remembers is the pretzels and the beer.
Yeah.
And maybe he did it like instinctively. I don't know. I mean.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I guess so.
Like he remembers. I mean, he remembers the most significant parts of his life. Like he remembers that where they used to live and the pretzels and the beer because there was kind of like something important
attached to that.
But the overall stuff, like the good memories that. I mean, like you said, like that's why he kept the ring and the
yeah,
pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, who he was before the apocalypse.
You know, maybe that's why he accepted her and Negan having a relationship, because he kind of detached from it. Like he didn't remember mm-hmm. the past that he had with Sherry. And this is extreme. Like how bad is his memory? Like we don't know, right?
Well, think about it. All the bad things you've ever that's ever happened to you, you look back on it now and say, yeah, I got through it. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
But you remember them though.
Yeah, but you remember them in a fond way. As time goes on, you forget the pain that was attached to it. You know what I mean? Or the pain that was attached to losing that or not having the same thing. So that's why a lot of people go back to crappy relationships, because they forget how bad it was or all that stuff. I don't know. I just think that, yeah, I think because his memory is really bad, it makes it easier for him to move on.
And also, it makes more sense. It kind of makes sense why Sherry would get rid of Daryl, because Daryl was that token that kept triggering Dwight's memory to remember mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. Remember the that's why he is like Daryl.
Yeah,
but he's changed into this evil person now. And Dwight,
and he doesn't. And she loves him enough that she wants him to survive. So if it means that she has to get rid of the one thing that could have brought him back to the person she used to love. She did it.
Yeah.
That's why she did it. She did it because she wanted to save him, not because of anything else. She said, I convinced you to come back to save us, but changed you in the process. And I can't love you anymore, but it's for your own good because at least you're alive.
Yeah. It kind of makes more sense in hindsight, like knowing that what was sacrificed where, you know, they came back and then Sherry became Negan's wife, and then Dwight was able to go on. Like, I'm just thinking maybe the only way it actually worked and this whole mm-hmm. thing happened was because Dwight has this bad memory, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if Negan knows about it, but regardless, you know, it's kind of strange that they reveal it in this letter though, rather than kind of giving us information about this earlier in the season. And we just find out now.
Well, because I think it's a good place to put this in. I think it's a good timing. There was not enough time with all the other crap that was going on in the season. We didn't really care about this character so much.
And
but
also,
now, yeah, go ahead.
And at the end, when he meets Eugene, because Eugene says, "Do you know who I am?" And like Dwight says, "No." I'm just saying like. I know Eugene's not an important person that Dwight should know who his name is, but maybe that's another signal that, hey, Dwight's memory is not so good. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Who knows? Yeah. I don't know. I think he knows who he is. I just don't think he cares. Well, he's just very secretive and he just keeps all the information inside.
Because Eugene says, do you know my name? And like says, no, I'm Eugene. And then Eugene says, then you're Dwight. Anyway, but it was kind of weird. But
yeah. And you know, they might use each other again in the future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Dwight might join the rest of the gang, you know?
I don't know. I don't know where.
Terra situation.
I have no idea where the Dwight character is going at this point. Let's go to the whole Dr. Carson being fried.
Yeah. Well, first, before that, Dwight meets Dr. Carson for one more treatment thing to fix up his wounds.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Dwight tells him that, oh, yeah, I found Sherry, all right. She was caught up in some Walker business and I killed her.
Yeah.
And then Carson feigns like, you know, I'm so sorry. He says, I would tell you to forget about her, but no one else is anytime soon considering what she did. And then Dwight says, we all did things. And then I liked this quote. Yes, but before we got here, before we understood, we were cowards about it. We don't get to have big hearts. Remember that.
And you notice he says, the whole discussion about Carson is, oh, I would tell you to forget about her, again, with the memory thing. And then at the end he says, remember that, right? So I guess, again, talking about
his memory
is bad, right? He's basically saying, yeah, but before we got here, before we understood, this is how we were.
Uh-huh. You know, we were people like Sherry. We would do things like what Sherry did.
Yeah. So again, it's kind of poking at Dwight's memory that maybe Dwight doesn't remember who he was before and he thinks this is who he is now.
Well, I don't know if Carson knows that Dwight has a bad memory, but
oh no, I know Carson doesn't know, but again, the writers are playing with this idea.
And then Dwight looks at his lollipops. You know, I'm starting to think that Dwight only killed off Carson just so that he can have unlimited access to lollipops.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why he just cares about that.
But maybe it's a memory trigger. Maybe it triggers something in his past, something he remembers about lollipops, and then he just grabs it instinctively, right? I don't know. I'm just
who knows.
This whole idea now that we know
opens up so many possibilities for his character.
Now that we know that Dwight has a bad memory, it kind of paints his character in a whole different light, in my opinion. But it's too complicated for The Walking Dead. Walking Dead needs more zombies, more walkers. We'll get some in the next episode, I promise.
But I liked the story. The storyline kept me entertained and kept me interested. So I don't mind that so much.
He was wondering what happens next, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have Laura escorting Eugene to the kill floor, I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And he enters in, Negan enters in, and says to Eugene directly, you're going to want to pay close attention to this. Another learning lesson, or another stop on the tour bus. And he beats up Dr. Carson and says, look, I found this, which is in Sherry's handwriting, and recaps the story as he knows it, or as Dwight has told him.
And then it's interesting how Dwight cut the piece from the letter that he could twist it anyway, because honey is her nickname, but it could also be read like goodbye honey, like she's calling the doctor honey, right?
Yeah,
like they had this thing. It's kind of implying
like
that
goodbye for thing, like goodbye, you know, yeah, like thanks for helping out.
It's implying that they had some kind of relationship, which they didn't, obviously, which was kind of evil of Dwight to do, but hey,
very like conniving. Yeah,
I mean, that's who
but
he
yeah,
is.
So he shows him the letter or that little note. And, you know, Negan says, oh, you helped Daryl escape to help Sherry. And then she ran.
Yeah.
And
then Carson accuses his Dwight. Hey, Dwight was lying. And then Negan again says, oh, Dwight's cool. All he needed was another night in the hole to get his head straight. So again, and Dwight says, right. Yeah. Again, Negan is trusting of Dwight, saying, yeah, I beat him up a little bit. I put him in the prison, and it worked. You know, he's back on track again. And you notice that this whole thing, Dwight doesn't even turn his head. He doesn't even look at Carson.
He knows exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's kind of bracing for the worst, right? He knows what's going to happen.
And it worked out better than he expected, actually.
You think so? You thought he was just going to get the iron?
Yeah, because you see his eyes widen a little bit when he pushed him into the fire. Oh, no. I don't think, no. I think he was surprised that he admitted to it.
Mm.
His eyes widened when he admitted to it. I don't think he thought he was going to admit to it.
Well, he was, at that point, he was just begging for his life, right? Whatever Negan says.
Because, yeah, Negan said, well, you just have to say so and you'll be free. Lying, obviously. So Dwight thought, best case scenario, he gets an iron to the face. And, you know, that's the end of that. But the fact that he admitted it and then he died, they killed him. Solid. Dwight was like, this has worked better than I ever thought it was going to be.
And also, Eugene is watching. So Eugene is seeing basically the whole thing play out. And
I think that Negan killed Carson when he didn't have to, because he took one look at Eugene and then tossed him into the fire like he wanted to make a point.
Yeah, and a lot of people online were thinking, oh, well, Negan thinks that Eugene is a doctor. That's why he killed the other doctor. But I think actually it's a little deeper than that, because we mentioned in a previous episode a while back, I can't remember what the number of episodes, that
Hilltop.
That Carson has a brother or relative or something at Hilltop who's also a doctor. So when I think Negan was saying, oh, don't worry, we have another doctor, I think he meant the doctor in Hilltop.
It could be, but it seems a little far-fetched, considering that Eugene did say that he was a doctor.
Yeah, but not that kind of doctor. Not that kind of doctor, though.
No, but he said he got his doctorate. No, he said that. I thought he said because he got a medical degree, he's technically a doctor.
I'm not. I got the impression that he meant like a doctorate, like a PhD, like a
professor,
not like a medical doctor.
Well, because then he looked at him, too. So I don't know
if Negan knows the difference, to be honest. I don't know. I assume Negan's smart enough to know the difference between the lie that Eugene said. But I think he knows that Hilltop has a doctor, and I think, which could lead to another future development where Negan goes to the Hilltop to get that doctor.
Yeah.
And bring him back to the sanctuary. And when he goes there, he'll see Maggie and everything, right?
Yeah.
So that could be a plot device.
Plot like, device, yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, we killed this doctor, so let's go get the other one. And
it's
meanwhile,
not going to be a perfect plan to just ruin everyone, to ruin the saviors. There's going to be some holes and some.
Yeah. So Dwight's little plan caused the whole ripple effect, you know?
Yeah.
And again, reason why Negan loves Dwight is because,
just to put the lid on everything, Negan was nice enough to say, I'm sorry, Dwight, about Sherry. Dwight's like, I'm not. And Negan was impressed. He's like, wow, ice cold.
Yeah. So again, another reason why, because Dwight plays it well, you know, he's really, nothing phases him. He's like cold, stone cold, right? So let's go towards the ending which
we'll come back to you, Eugene.
Yeah, I don't know if it was surprising. I guess it was expected, but I was surprised to see it so...
How fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, so let's... So basically, Negan has the standard, the knock. And then Eugene opens the door.
So ominous. That was a weird creak, a door creak.
It was kind of funny because the door was opening and he's just Negan standing there motionless.
With his freaking bat. So, God, all these theatrics.
It was pretty ominous because it was basically like put up or shut up at this point. You know, it was fine. You had your Atari video game.
You got a little taste.
You had your pickles.
That's a demo.
You had the girls. Okay, now it's showtime. Tell me what's up, right? And then Negan starts talking and saying, who are... And then he just cuts him off and says, I'm Negan. I'm stone cold. I was always Negan. He says,
I was Negan before I even met you. I just had to meet you properly. We're just saying a lot because he was there when Negan took out his friends.
Mm.
So he still can say that I'm 100% Negan after everything.
Wow. Yeah, that's how chicken he is. So we don't know if he's putting an act or he's really just playing Eugene. and I think the reason I saw in one of the insider clips that AMC was putting out that the reason why Eugene cut him off and didn't let him finish the question was basically not to acknowledge the question. Like, it's like, I'm not even going to let you ask the question, because it's going to be even harder, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it without having to acknowledge that you asked me that kind of thing. So I don't know. But I think Eugene is kind of on both sides of things. I don't think he's...
I think so.
I think he's playing both.
So
he's like, well, I want to stay alive. I'm a coward, so I'm going to do what I always do and kind of fit in and adapt and lie and do whatever I can to survive because I'm a coward.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if the time comes, he will be kind of the person that will pop up and help our group if the time comes. Like, let's say there's an attack on the compound,
mm-hmm.
and Eugene sees that he can help, I think he would jump into action. But I don't think Eugene would proactively do anything. I think Eugene is going to just sit there and just milk it for as long as he can.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's just going to do whatever is best for him in his own interests.
Yeah.
But he does have ties to Tara. He did save Tara's life, so maybe she'll sway him a bit.
Yeah, Eugene's done some heroic things. Oh, not really heroic, but he stepped up a little bit in the past in various moments. But they were few far in between, and I wouldn't say that Eugene is someone who just goes out and just does stuff on his own, free will. Like, he's mm-hmm. not going to fight back. He's just going to sit low and as much as he can, I think.
No, he's going to sit back and stay low for a while. But yeah. I think with this newfound confidence, maybe he'll start trying to make decisions. Because I was reading the last dialogue here.
Yeah, let's. I'll be Dwight and you be Eugene.
Okay.
So Eugene is overseeing the workers putting metal on the walkers, molten metal. And Dwight joins Eugene. And then.
In regards to me clamping down on you.
Are you on board?
I am, just like you. Don't know if you can recall my handle.
No.
Eugene, you're Dwight. We are Negan.
Yeah. That's the dialogue.
What the heck does in regards to me clamping down on you?
Oh, when he bit on his, you know, his private parts.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, I forgot about that.
How can you forget the big clamp down?
How did I forget that?
Remember when he was...
They're so different now. They're both so different. In such different places, I forgot.
Yeah, and the irony is, well, kind of rubbing it in his face, was that Eugene was eating a pickle when they were there.
That's funny. Yeah. And then Dwight's
chewing on it.
Yeah, and then Dwight just doesn't even acknowledge and just says, are you on board? He says, I am, like you are. And he's asked me, do you remember my name, right?
Yeah.
That's
when
he says my handle. Yeah. I just think of Twitter handle or like Instagram handle.
Well, because he's a geek, right?
Yeah.
Well, and then it says when you're on board, yes. Like, okay, so is there a hidden message behind this dialogue?
No, Dad, don't get your conspiracies panties all in a jumble.
Well, not a conspiracy, but I'm just saying, is it like surface level? Like, yeah, you're on board, we're on board. Or is it like, are you on board with not showing your true self and sneaking around, but you hate Negan?
Well, he says we are Negan. Oh.
I'm just saying, are you on board, like, basically unspoken words like, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Yeah, I'm on board, if you know what I mean. Like, I'm pretending to be on board, but really we're... Because Dwight is not really on board, right? He's underneath.
But Eugene doesn't know that. Eugene doesn't know that of Dwight. He doesn't know anything that Dwight's gone through.
I know. Well, maybe he does a little bit. That's why I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Maybe he saw signs of it during the Dr. Carson burning. Burning of the Carson.
Well, because he did say, yeah, Negan chose to believe Dwight over Carson because...
So, he said that, I'm wondering if Eugene kind of knows.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, how sneaky Dwight is. Because he saw also the redhead kid stealing stuff. So, he knows that there's...
He knows stuff goes on.
Things go on that are not up and up.
To what extent, I'm not sure. But I think it's a little premature to make that statement that he said he's... That's what the hidden meaning was behind that sentence.
Yeah.
But it would be very entertaining, and I hope it's so, because that makes it really fun and gets to show that we have two people on the inside that can help our group.
Yeah, I think when everything goes down, of course Eugene will do what he can, unless he just cowers down in a corner in a room and just watch the whole thing burn down and doesn't do anything, because that's a possibility too.
Yeah.
Dwight, I don't know what Dwight's going to do, because at this point, Dwight...
I think Dwight's just going to double cross Negan.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Look for Sherry.
It's hard to say.
Once Negan goes down, yeah.
So that was it. And so overall, again, we liked the episode. There was only one walker scene, I guess.
And that was all animated.
It was all computer graphics.
So
all CGI.
Yeah.
The Walker guts falling, which was kind of cool. Okay, I want to comment a little bit on the whole plan of the molten metal. Do you think that makes practical sense? Kind of silly, don't you think?
I listened to it a couple of times to try to make sense of it, and I'm like, okay, it's not that. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Like, in practice, like, once you put molten metal on a walker, isn't...
I thought, like, the head would just collapse on itself.
Yeah?
I thought so.
I would think so, too, and that would kill the walker. Or, like, it wouldn't really do much. I just thought the whole plan... Actually, at the end, I wanted them to actually do it and show it.
Yeah, and I was, like, squinting really hard to see if it was working or what was going on.
Because they did it, like, in the distance.
Yeah.
And I saw some liquid flowing, but not anything realistic.
So overall, I did like this episode. I thought it was a strong one. I really liked the storylines.
Surprising, huh?
Yeah, these characters are not the ones that I thought I would be rooting for or care for, but this episode made me care a little bit. I was thoroughly impressed.
And you like Dwight. That's interesting, because I didn't...
I do.
I don't know.
I like what he stands for. He took action, and he was very conniving in that plan, and I loved it.
Okay, so let's go to our voicemail. And we had a voicemail from Timmy Hammer, who actually left us a voicemail before, but I offered to give her a t-shirt, but she never followed up, so she never got her t-shirt. So this time, she called back and said that she's going to get the t-shirt this time. But basically, Timmy is talking about, as we were talking about the heapsters or the junk people, the trash people, the trash compactor people, and we were making kind of fun of them. And she stopped the podcast in the middle and had to respond before getting back to it. So here's what she said.
I think you're totally wrong about the heapsters. I went to high school. I know you did too, Jasmine. And I'm pretty sure everyone else at least can relate to finding new friends, changing their vernacular a little bit, blending. I think this is totally normal. I think this group of people found each other. They're maybe a little punk rock, a little new wave. They found a way to make each other kind of all blend and kind of fit together. Secondly, I actually saw Jadis, who is the... Well, I don't know the actress's name, but the lady who plays Jadis on Talking Dead saying they have sort of a hive mind, so she has got to be Queen Bee. And I think they're doing this whole quiet, creepy, no emotion thing as like an intimidation factor. And it probably works on everyone, right? Like, if all of a sudden this group showed up, they have no emotion, they talk in this super weird language, they have all these like weapons, you're going to be super freaked out. But weirdly, all of a sudden, Rick responds and he like smiles at them, which is probably super off-putting to them. So the whole situation is like off-putting all around, and Jadis and Rick are both like off-putting and weird, and then that kind of works. And I think that's the only reason why it actually worked out. So I love this. I get where you're coming from. I do. I'm just getting sick of Walking Dead fans being all, like, critical about everything. Critical about the finale. Critical about being too violent. Critical about people saying it's not going to be violent anymore. Come on. Make up your minds, y'all.
Pick up your minds, y'all. So she's basically saying that they're weird and creepy, and that's part of their intimidation. And most people would just get scared of that and kind of run away or... whatever, but Rick doesn't. He confronts them and laughs with them, and kind of they find that interesting, right? That Rick is not scared of their intimidating tactics. She kind of compares it to being in high school and having your own clique.
That is so true, though, because we come up with our own insiders and stuff, but we're not so like in depth into the apocalypse where we come up with our basic language. But yeah, I can see where that I can agree with that.
Well, thanks for the voicemail, Timmy, and we'll
thank you.
Definitely send you a t-shirt. We'll contact you through email.
Whether you like it or not.
Maybe we'll send her two, because she left two. I mean, we'll see where it goes with the previous one. I think with what we've seen with the preview for the next season, we see some more walkers. So we get more walker action, and we also see Rick and Michonne teaming up again and going out on a mission. So I don't know what that's about, but that's what's happening.
I'm excited. I like this episode. I have more hope for the show now than I did last week.
Yeah, it's definitely The Walking Dead is going for the long haul. Like, they're not thinking short term. They're thinking long. Like, they're really stretching the whole storyline.
Oh, yeah.
They're really milking everything, and that's fine. I guess they want to get a lot of mileage out of it. The only actor who's been there since the beginning so far is Rick.
It's Rick. Carl.
Carl. But he's young, so he can grow into the role. I'm just wondering how Andrew Lincoln feels about doing this character for so many years, you know?
Well, he's making a crap ton of money, so anything he has to say, you can just check it at the bank because he's making all that.
The artist in him probably is thinking.
Ask the actress in the room, Dad.
I don't know.
Okay. I've actually had this discussion a lot of times in class where we're talking about, you know, well, if you get a show, a TV show is pretty much like, it's the closest thing in the movie business or in the TV business to a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
It's the only work that you're ever going to get that is going to be stable enough to sustain you. And yes, you will have, yes, that's probably, you have to be stuck with the same character. But the great thing is that when it's on hiatus, you can do other projects. Yeah. And that's what a lot of actors do. I know one of my teacher's husbands is in a really, really popular cop drama detective series, and he does theater work and other shows out when they're on hiatus and stuff. I mean, I'm pretty sure these characters don't really have to, considering that they're in this huge money-making thing and they're just writing it out now. But, you know, Sherry's on her own show now.
Oh, yeah?
On E! She's, it's almost like a 50 Shades of Grey thing. It's like hatching onto the back tails of that, where she's a actress, a becoming actress, who fell in love with a really super high-profile actor who apparently is in a cult, and she has to sign a contract to be dating him because he's super like on the elite top, but she has a shady past, and if he ever finds out, she won't be able to be on the top anymore with him.
So the actress who plays Sherry is in that role.
And she's so beautiful. Oh my gosh. Oh, I also saw Logan today.
Oh, the movie Logan. Yeah.
Think everyone should watch it. Even if you're not a big Marvel superhero fan, this is completely different from that in the way it's just a human story. It just follows Wolverine's character, Logan, and the future. It takes place in like 2029.
Mm.
So, it's, I really liked it. It was so intense. Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends and everyone you know. We love to get new subscribers. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive.